Turn back to chapter 2 of Ephesians. We'll pick up where we left off. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So as we speak somewhat about these good works, we should keep this rule ever in mind that is comprehended by John 15, the verse 5, the words of the Lord Jesus, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And then this, for without me ye can do nothing. Good works. We need to remember that even as we seek to do good works, we have a crying need and responsibility to see to the good of our spiritual man, to be built up in the Lord more and more. We can't jump past that and then seek to do, no matter how sincere we are, all manner of good works. Micah 6, verse 8, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Walk humbly. Walk with God. Walk humbly with thy God. And so we need to be built up spiritually, take care of our Christian character, if you will. And 2 Peter 1, 1 through 8 says a good deal about that, as we, of course, want to be built up in faith and hope and love and so forth. But it says a great deal about this and tending to our spiritual man, our spiritual character, because all through the New Testament, it's so clear, and we're reminded of the need to nourish the graces that have been implanted in our heart, all of them, and be built up in them. And the principal three are faith, hope, and love, of course. But we have this in that text I just mentioned, 2 Peter. We have this, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So we're given all things that pertain to life and godliness, with all that that comprehends. And so life as a Christian, this new spiritual life, and godliness, being made more and more into the image of the Lord, of course, as through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Don't misunderstand that. We don't start having a divine nature, but it speaks of what the Lord gives us, the things he gives us, so that we will be built up in the Lord. And we are made more into his image, of course. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. And then this, we go on with this. And beside this, giving all diligence. See, we're to be diligent for good works, but we can't overlook this. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to keep that in mind, and we would remind ourselves also of this that's said of the fruit of the Spirit. For instance, in Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And so we need to take all of this to heart and not neglect our spiritual man. In Ephesians, in chapter 5, the verse 9 and 10. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And so it's very important. We can't neglect our spiritual man. We can't, right from the start, and we can't begin to do all manner of good works. We're out sharing the gospel with the lost, as we were yesterday, of course, and we're doing works of compassion, mercy, whatever it might be, various good works for the Lord. And by the way, serving the Lord within the church, to put it that way, and building up the church, and we'll get to that as well. But we can't neglect our spiritual man and our growing in grace and the knowledge, to sum it up, of our Lord Jesus Christ, as it's put in the scriptures. But good works. The first thing we would mention is that good works do not in any way excuse or lessen the sin, the terrible sin of unscriptural worship, preaching, or religious practice. Beginning with the assembling of the church on the Lord's Day and the keeping of that day holy as commanded by the Lord. Good works don't excuse any compromise of the word and the honor of the Lord. Now, we have already mentioned, or to put it this way, our spiritual man, but our Christian character. But we certainly have to take great care to remember that you can do all sorts of good works, but let's do first things first again. Let's not get compromised with regard to the Word of God, the doctrines of our faith, our walk, our practice. Consider this in Revelation 2, 18 through 20. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira, write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works. He says it again, thy works, thy works, thy works. And you note service as well. And the last, he mentions works again, to be more than the first. So church of people full of good works. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And so this the Lord held against that church. So a church can be full of good works. The people are full of good works and giving to many missionaries overseas, even if they're sound missionaries, and doing other good works. And yet, they're compromised. They're spiritually compromised. The people are being corrupted by that. He holds that against that church, you see. And so we have to remember that. Now, the second thing we would mention is that Christians are to do works that are scriptural and thus pleasing to the Lord. We're not to just run off in all directions and just do whatever we feel like doing. Oh, it's good work. We'll do it. We'll serve here, serve there, do this, do that. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We have this in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, this comprehends our whole selves then, body, soul, everything, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, considering, of course, what the Lord has done for us. And who he is. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it's so very important, that ongoing, really, renewing of our mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Yes, with all things, including good works. Colossians 1, verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So we have to seek to be pleasing to him in every way, but certainly also with regard to our works being scriptural, which we'll go on to speak about somewhat as we go through this. It really applies as we go through these next things. And the next thing we would mention is that good works which are pleasing to the Lord are those scriptural works then performed out of faith as moved by love of the Lord, and then done with hope and in all sincerity. We again mention the church at Thessalonica as an example. First Thessalonians 1, chapter, verses 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus in the sight of God and our Father. Now, 1 John 3, the verse 18 says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In truth. Certainly, we need to have truth in our heart. We need to do these works in sincerity and moved by love and do them in faith and with hope. 1 Corinthians 13, the verses 1 through 3. I say moved by love, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. That's that Christian grace of love. But he doesn't just speak of having it, but that outward fruit of it. I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Then here it is, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Giving all my goods to feed the poor. Isn't it a good work to feed the poor? But, you see, have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. The only good works, too, acceptable and pleasing to the Lord, are those which are done, of course, in obedience to him, which is so important, but for his honor. We seek to glorify God and do things that honor him. Of course, Colossians 3, verse 17 says, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And so there's an honoring of the Lord in these works that are pleasing to him. We think of the scribes and the Pharisees. They were out to honor themselves in the eyes of men, not the Lord. Matthew 23, the verse 5, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. Now, does that mean we should hide all of our good works? Well, the scriptures say differently with regard to the world. They ought to see our good works. But what it does mean is, yes, there are some things we might do that it's not right to trumpet to everyone how much you might be giving. You're going above and beyond the tithe and things like that. We don't talk about such things. But good works are seen. And it's a good example for others, and certainly it's for the glory of God in the world. And that belongs, of course, to that previous point about doing things for his honor. Now, we certainly know that salvation is all of God, all of grace, but once justified and regenerated, then we have these good works we were created in Christ Jesus that we're to do. And here, as we think of salvation, all of grace, the Christian has to lay hold on the grace and strength of God. Again, without me, you can do nothing. We have to lay hold on the grace and strength which God gives to us. And we must do these things in love and with faith, with a desire and determination to obey and serve him, even to be faithful and fruitful and rich in good works. We're talking about works now, but it's still by grace is all I'm trying to say. With salvation, there are no works. It's all of grace. But here we do these things by God's grace. Now, good works done in all sincerity and out of faith, hope, and love are still mixed, however, with our imperfections, aren't they? But because of our spiritual union with Christ and our acceptance by God our works are also sanctified through Christ and made acceptable and pleasing to God our Father, and he has promised to bless his children who are zealous for good works. But as far as this, our good works being cleansed of our imperfections and acceptable by God the Father because of our union with Christ. We have this in Exodus 28, 36 through 38, concerning the high priest. Thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, engrave upon it like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre. Upon the forehead of the mitre it shall be, and it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things, sacrifices and gifts they brought. Certainly all the gifts they brought and all these different types of sacrifices, which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts. So we're talking about these gifts here. Those kind of, there was all sorts of sacrifices and different gifts by sacrifice and other ways. There were different gifts brought. And it shall be always upon his forehead that they may be accepted before the Lord. We know what that represents and stands for, don't we? And we have 1 Peter 2, the verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Again, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So the Lord would have us to be zealous for good works, and this zeal must first be, as we think of good works, a zeal for good works, it must be for the church, which he hath purchased with his own blood. That's where it begins. We don't neglect the church and rush out into the world. We have to first be concerned with the church. It doesn't mean we're not concerned with the world and getting the gospel out there and doing good works out in the world, but first the church. The church has to be a city set on a hill. That's so important. Separated from the world, of course, and a shining example of the grace, as we talked about earlier, and mercy and love and regenerating, sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit in them that are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. It's a holy city. It's set on a hill. So that's important. That's vitally important that we remember that as well. And we have so many examples in the scriptures of those who are commended for laboring to build up the church, and yes, to strengthen and help in the preaching of those who were going from church to church and building them up and so forth. And yes, they didn't restrict all their ministry to the church with their preaching. Look at Paul. Look at him on Mars Hill and other places, and look at him in Athens, and he was preaching Christ and the resurrection, the streets of Athens even, and he was on Mars Hill. But you just see this picture of Christians laboring to build up the church and to help with the ongoing work of the ministry. Romans 16, 1 through 8, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many. So she's a great help and assistance for many. And of myself also, the apostle, to other brethren and him, and no doubt other preachers. And then greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks. They risked their own life. Now, there's a good work. They risked their own life for the ministry of the gospel, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. And so they were hosting the church gathering in their house. Well, that's a good work, especially with persecution more and more breaking out. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, another Christian sister, you see, who bestowed much labor on us. These are good works, aren't they? And building up the church. We have 1 Corinthians 16, the verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. We can't neglect the church. That's our first responsibility, the household of faith. building it up. So it is a city set on a hill. The third epistle of John, chapter 1, 5 through 8, the verses, Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, the one spoken of earlier there, taking nothing of the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. These were evangelists and preachers, you see. So there he was, this particular one that's written to, was doing his part to help carry forward the work of the ministry. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5, Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. And that gift, collection that was being taken to help the poor saints in Jerusalem, of course, in their time of need. Well, here's a church that went above and beyond what anyone thought they could even afford. This is giving. Giving for the church, particularly here, and the needy, another good work. In this case, again, for the brethren in the church, that's first. It doesn't mean that's not a good work to help those outside the church, but it has to be for God's honor and glory and for the right reasons, of course. But for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And then, of course, we have 1 Corinthians 15, the verse 58, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable. Now, that applies to what I first said. The church has to be built up. We cannot compromise on doctrine or practice, any such thing. That's first. That's vital. Can't be just set aside, oh, we're doing lots of good works. And then, of course, also, the church has to be built up. It's not enough just to say, well, we don't compromise on, by the grace of God at least, we're certainly laboring not to compromise on doctrine and practice. We're seeking to be vigilant and sober, knowing that our adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But we want to see the church built up more and more and more and full of ever more light and spiritual power working in the hearts of men and women, and redounding with thanksgiving and thanks to the Lord and worship and praise. So we note that, be steadfast, unmovable. Stand fast. Don't move. The Bible, the Word of God, is the standard. It draws the line. Defend that line. Don't move off it. Be unmovable. And then this, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's written to the whole church. It's not just the pastors, in the work of the Lord. And certainly we can put that under the heading of good works, can't we? For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so we have stressed the importance of, well, first things first, sum it up that easily, or I should say that briefly, but it's not with regard to good works. They are not to stop within the church then. We're to be the gospel light of the world, and in that also the salt of the earth, that preserving influence and witness in the world. The Lord Jesus gave this command to his disciples then, 11 at the time, true apostles. Judas had gone to his place, which was hell, the false apostle, the betrayer. And then, of course, Paul was the 12th true apostle. But this isn't just for them. It's for the church. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So the gospel is to be sent into all the world, into the dark corners of the earth. And, of course, that's foreign missions. And the church is to support foreign missions in every way, with prayer and with finances and in every way, the missionary family and so on and so forth. And the church herself is to take the gospel light out into the world, into the dark world around the church. We can't neglect that either. We don't say every church has to do every amount of ministry, to put it that way, that this church does or that church does. Some say, well, everyone's just supposed to street preach. It should be just street preaching. That's not so. Street preaching, when it's done faithfully and properly, that's a wonderful thing, but it doesn't mean that every church has to have a street preacher. It doesn't mean that. Others say this or that, but the gospel, a faithful gospel, has to be made known out in the world. And it has to go on as a ministry of the church. It's part of the good works we're to do. Philippians 2, 15 and 16, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. That's the first thing, blameless and harmless. That has to do with, well, following holiness, following after holiness, peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Of course, peace insofar as it relies on us. Sometimes there can't be a peace. We should never have a peace when there is no peace. And then, among whom you shine as lights in the world, and then this, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now we know, all Christians know, I would think, that some good works the world will approve of. Certain acts of mercy or compassion, for instance, the world will approve of that. Certainly it should be, of course, done, mixed with the gospel and a witness. For instance, with terrible tornado in Joplin, Missouri, of course, we sent people from this church down with various items to help people with their physical needs. But what else? Bible. Some Bibles, the few we had on hand. We'll never be unprepared like that again. Now we have lots of Bibles on hand. But other tracts and things like that. And so, but the world sees that and the acts of compassion and mercy at a time like that, and of course they approve of it. They might say, well, that Bible they give out with it, I don't necessarily think that's necessary or anything like that. But if they see that you have compassion and concern for those that are hurting in different ways, they're going to approve of that. Even when done in the name of the Lord, other good works many in the world will despise. They'll just despise it. But I say, if it's some emergency like that, some disaster, they just overlook the things they might not like. Some of those same people, as long as they see this compassion, they see this kindness, they see this sharing and helping with the physical needs, and then, oh, that's good. We approve of that. But then there, of course, are other good works that the world just will despise. We ran into some of that yesterday when we were sharing the gospel with that crowd, didn't we? They despised it. Not all of them, but a good many. And then there are those good works which certainly apostates and false converts, and also even backslidden Christians will despise. There are good works. And these, no doubt, are the good works of first importance and duty. If apostates, false converts, and backslidden Christians despise the good work that you're doing, you're probably doing a truly good work. 1 John 2, verse 29, if ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. And so if you're doing a righteous work, a work pleasing to him, it'll often be despised by those very people. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We seek what? To glorify the Lord and to be obedient and to be rich in good works. John 15, the verse 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." And so we're to be zealous in good works, rich in good works. We want to glorify God by bearing much fruit as faithful disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just that simple. But there are certain things to remember, and we trust we have made some points that ought to be remembered. Is there more that could be said? No doubt. But these are the points we make today. Hebrews 13, as we close, the verses 20 and 21. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." And so you see, what's of first importance? Of course, the doctrines of our faith and the gospel. That's mentioned first. And the worship of God and the growing in knowledge of Christ and of the doctrines of our faith. And then we also see the need of what we were talking about earlier, as we see working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, that inner work of the Holy Spirit that must go forward. We must not hinder that, but we also see make you perfect in every good work to do his will. And so that text just puts everything together and sums it up, what we've been talking about with good works. It comprehends it all. Amen.